Thank you for tuning in to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio on LiveParanormal.com. Hosted by owners Robert Zarek and Nikki Paranormal.
Hey everybody, this is Rob Zarek of Live Paranormal. I'm one of your show hosts tonight on Spotlight Radio, and I'm just waiting on for Nikki, and I believe she's bringing herself on. Hey, are you there?
Yes, sorry about that. Looks like I'm having an internet outage.
It is okay. I was able to bring you on myself, so it was good. So this is Nikki Paranormal, my co-host, and I'm glad that you're actually here.
I am actually here.
I was getting a little worried because you know me and technology, and luckily mm-hmm. I had the studio pulled up, and we were ready to go.
Fantastic.
Because that would have been like
great when things work out.
An issue. It would have been a very big issue if I didn't have the studio pulled up.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, nothing like starting a radio show off like that. But it's been a long and fun week, and I'm looking forward to tonight's show.
Me too.
And I don't know. It's been a long time since we've had Philo on as a guest. It's been a long time since we've spoken to him. So, you know, it's one of those that it's been a good couple years. So I think that's a lot of content to cover.
Definitely.
And it looks like, he had a lot of things going on. I was scrolling through his Facebook page today and it looks like he's been doing a lot of stuff. And you know, we haven't seen him because of obviously COVID, but you know, there still were some conventions and he still is doing his artwork. And I don't think he necessarily dabbles in the paranormal, but he's a paranormal believer and he has things happen to him, which is always fun to hear his stories.
Oh, definitely. Those are the best.
So he must be like a, they come looking for him. I think that when people are a believer and are open to it, they're more likely, I guess they're more likely to be aware of their surroundings and, you know, what's going on. Where I think there's a lot of people who are not oblivious, but they're not believers in the paranormal. And they could have, like, stuff fly off their desk or crazy things happen. And just because they're not believers, they wouldn't even notice it. So I think, you know, being
we
aware
also call that a constant state
open,
of denial. Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, no matter what, I know that we want to encounter those people every so often at some of our events. You know, like I said, the COVID stopped us from doing a lot of events. We've done events, and it's always like the disbelievers that come are there almost to like prove us wrong, and sometimes they're
to heckle us.
So
mm-hmm.
yeah, and they're so set in their ways of not believing that something that was clearly paranormal, you know, they're like, nah, that didn't happen. So, you know, you have to have a bit of an open mind. I know we've done investigations where we've had, and I believe it was at one of our conventions where the guy was just not a believer and he was wearing a green shirt. And I said, what color is the shirt? And the ghost box clear said green shirt. And the guy was like, yeah, I don't. They were probably talking about a green shirt on the radio. I was like, well, that's a stretch. But, you know, there's things out there that happen, and I think as long as you're open to it, that you're more likely to find it.
Right.
You know, but then on the
or
other
maybe
hand,
even recognize it, you know.
Which is good, because there's a lot of times that, things happen. We don't always have our devices going and stuff, but it's good just for personal reference. And that's what's always good to hear about other people's stories.
Totally.
And we haven't talked to him in a long time. And it's funny because we've been like viewing our former shows and our past shows and our old content. And I picked up a video when we did an investigation with him years ago. So that was pretty cool.
Definitely.
I thought I lost you for a second, but I think he might be on. So hopefully let's bring him on now.
Okay.
And would you like me to do the honors of bringing him on by pressing the on
air
button?
You'd
or...
have to, because I don't have the capability.
All right, so we have Philo Barnhart, and let's bring him on.
Okay.
Hello.
Philo, you there? Hey, how are you tonight?
Yep, doing well. How are you?
We are doing good.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time since we've actually got a chance to talk to you, so we're excited tonight to hear how you've been and if you've had any of your cool paranormal experiences. As I was saying in our opening, is that you don't really dabble in the paranormal, but I know you're a believer, and it seems like crazy things sometimes happen to you, and you always have some cool stories.
Yes, well, it's like with a lot of people, it's just kind of thrust on me, you know. So I don't think anyone, most people necessarily don't ask to see or hear or experience these things. That they just happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I think the fact that you're actually open to the communication is where – that's kind of cool. Because we encounter a ton of people that just don't buy it and won't, no matter what happens. I mean, there could be a full body apparition of their mother walking by, and you'd be like, nah, that's not real. So it's always good to talk to somebody who, is a believer.
Yeah, it was fashioned at Walt Disney Imagineering, one of the theme parks. That's right.
Well, you go a lot of cool places, and you definitely have seen a lot of cool things. So, that's why it's always fun to talk to you. And you're definitely a believer.
I am, yes. I've had my proof several times over, and including the time we all went to St. Barnabas that night.
Yeah.
Or was it actually morning, I guess it was. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess
was,
it was.
That was the night I had a little kid touch my pants. I was wearing black pants. I didn't know what was touching me in the dark. That was down in the basement.
That could always
and,
be a
I remember to where all the light was and all the people were before we went upstairs. We remember we all changed places. We had a couple of groups. And I was sitting talking to Tim Woolworth, I remember, and I looked down, and before I even realized what I was doing, I was brushing my pants off, but there was a little handprint in dust on my black pants. And I thought, you idiot, you just swept that little handprint away. You know how people are.
Uh-huh.
And I remembered, oh, wait, that's where I felt touched. Brother.
Yeah, that would have been ideal to have captured that on some sort of audio, or I mean, a video, or before you did that. But being an experienced paranormal investigator, I guess we'll give you a pass on that one.
No, I was rest of the herd at that point, and wasn't really thinking about it. Keep myself neat and pretty, so. That little kid was trying to make themselves known.
Right.
I've never forgotten it. Yeah. I've had some unusual things happen in the building we live in now. That I live in now. I'm alone here now, but we used to live across the way in the same building, and my stepson used to point over my shoulder and look up at the ceiling and just shriek. And I felt there was something in there, too. In fact, I saw a shadow figure moving in and out of my walls in the bedroom. And
wow.
It was like out of the corner of my eye. But I always had a sense of feeling uneasy. And even down in the laundry room in that half of the building, it always felt like somebody was watching me do my laundry. And it really creeped me out. You know, just made the hackles come up on my back. But we moved over here and nothing. So I'm pretty sure something happened in that half of the building. Maybe something not together nice or a nice person. They weren't, because it was rather on the dark side. I remember feeling very uneasy. And
now was that a shared laundry, or was it just your own laundry?
No, it was a shared laundry. It was building that was made in 1905. It's actually older than the San Francisco earthquake, which was in 1906. It's been here a long time, and who knows who's in there, but somebody's in there for sure. There's nobody over here. Things stopped happening the minute we got in this place. And, now I'm on my own, but back then I had a little stepson, and he was picking up on things all the time. Once we got him over here, he started crying a lot less and not acting out so much. So I think something was making itself known to him for sure. You know, kids.
Wow.
Are. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you happen to talk to any of the other people in the building, and did they have any similar experiences, or was it just isolated to yourself and to, you know, your former stepson?
Yeah, my across the way neighbors. I just mentioned it in passing. I said, do you feel uneasy when you use the laundry downstairs? And she says, yeah. In fact, it got so bad that I'm using the laundromat down the road, you know. In Berwyn, which is actually not in Oak Park. Berwyn is the next community over. So I said, wow, you really did, you know, make tracks out of here. We had a good laugh over that. But, yeah, other people noticed there's a weird vibe over there. But, you know, you've probably seen them too, those shadow figures that move in and out of the walls or up through the ceiling. And they move so quickly that, like out of the corner of your eye, you know. But I haven't seen anything like that over here.
Right.
Some of my neighbors saw the same thing.
Oh, wow.
But I'm sure something happened in the apartment that we were in, though. Yeah.
Hmm.
Because
well,
of the age
if you
of the
had
building.
Access to go... If you had asked us to go back into that laundry room, we would send you a device or something, or have you go down there with your recorder and try to get, you know, ask who died and who's down there and see if you got anything.
Yeah, the laundry room in this half of the building, there's like nothing down there either. So, unfortunately, I don't have the key for the other half now, but maybe my landlady would be kind enough to let me go. I'm not sure I get
it. It might be an unusual conversation. Like, hey, I want to go back to the old laundry room to sneak around and look for ghosts.
Reminisce. No, just to reminisce with the laundry room.
Or just to reminisce. You miss it. You could. Yeah, I would maybe leave the ghost part out and just say, man, I really miss that laundry room. That was like the nicest laundry room I've ever encountered. And I just,
my clothes were cleaner over there, it felt like,
my clothes got cleaner. I want to give an EZP shout out to my ghost friends over there.
Right.
There you
look
go.
At me askew and say, what in the world?
I don't know if that would be an issue for losing insanity, would be an issue for losing your lease, but, you know, maybe not push it.
Right.
Actually, I'm just renewing it, so everything's cool.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a whole new ball game too. Because I'm solo again, so. Yeah.
Well, at least you have less laundry now. But I know
you
worked with Disney and some really amazing places. Your bio is insanely amazing. Now, when back in the day, through some of these places you worked, did you ever was there ever any encounters of any kind of activity that you remember? Because it seems like with all these cool places you've been and you've worked, that you might have stumbled by stuff unknowingly.
Mm-hmm. No, I remember experiencing smells and sensations. It wasn't anything I could see, but certainly smells and just the vibe of certain places, especially at Disney down in the basement area where they have their archives. There was a lot of special feeling down there. And even sometimes in our own room that we shared in the original animation building on the lot, I remember feeling some things.
I'll tell you, you had me at Disney Archives. That would be one place I'd want to go.
Yeah.
And investigate Disney Archives.
Right. They moved to
we did a show,
to a
I think,
facility up in Glendale, where they can they can conserve the artwork now. It's under temperature control and climate control and all that stuff, so dust-free. And if somebody needs to see something, you just get a permission slip, almost like checking something out of a library, and you go in and they bring you out the specific things, and you look at them there. And you have to put gloves on and the whole bit. So, they're finally realizing the intrinsic value of them. That's been going on for a couple of decades now, I guess. But back then it was all down in the, dingy dungeon of the studio in Burbank. So.
Well, we had a show, I think, a couple weeks ago, and Nikki asked me if there's any places that I wanted to investigate. And I guess I had a hard time coming up with places. And I'll be honest with you, when you're talking Disney and some of those, like the archives of Disney and some of those, I think that would be an amazing place to, snoop around and try to, see what
see
all
what
is
we could
there.
Stir,
it's just the history.
Yeah, what's happening. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So call up some of your old friends over there and let's make it happen.
I'm almost sure there are people hanging around there to this day. They pretty much gutted and changed the entire animation building where we used to work. They tore all that beautiful old wood paneling out and all the Art Deco countertops and things, and they put in, kind of antiseptic rooms, sliding glass doors and things. So they've removed a lot of the history of the building interior. The exterior still looks the same. But that's at the time we were all moved out as animators to Glendale, which is where we made The Little Mermaid, on Flower Street, just down from Walt Disney Imagineering, the people that do the theme park design work. So that's where we could have our lunch, too. They have a diner in there called the Big D Disney Dream Diner. Wow. We all put on a lot of weight while we were making that because the food was made fresh and it was very good. So,
right.
Yeah. But there was nothing like that old lot, though, when it was, untouched. It was a treasure trove. Yeah, feelings and history.
I can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I remember walking
know...
the back with my father when I would visit him for lunch when I was a little boy. He'd have a visitor pass waiting for me at the guard gate, and I would come up to his room and we'd go have lunch at the commissary, and then we'd stroll around the back lot and look at all the sets, that you could remember from movies like That Darn Cat and the Zorro cassettes were still up way in the back of the lot, and that became the Zorro parking lot after a while, which is where the animators parked after a time. So, but yeah, that was a fantastic time.
So both your parents worked at Disney, correct?
That's right. Mom only worked till around 46 or 7 when she was done with Song of the South. That was it for her for several years until the 60s when she went back to work in animation. But she stopped to raise our family, start our family. And my oldest brother was born in 47, the following year after Song of the South was released. So that was last when she did over there.
Mm-hmm.
And dad kept going. They met each other in 44. Mother had gotten there at 42. And she was just 20 years old. she was born in 1922, so she was exactly 20. And it was quite a different place for the artists back then. They were so enthused and, you know, just a different feeling than how the studio is today, of course. They don't have Walt anymore, certainly. But just an amazing place to work and create.
Well, I think animation, you know, animation back then compared to now is so much different too. So, you know, it's a whole different ballgame.
Oh yeah.
Right. Everything has gone pretty much digital. There are still a few people that do what's called hybrid animation, where they will hand draw and use digital animation as well. The movie Klaus, which came out through Netflix, Sergio Pablo had the idea to make this movie using a traditional hand-drawn animation for the characters. And the characters were color-rendered so that they looked like they were CG, you know, computer graphic shaded. But they were actually hand-drawn, so they found a successful way to make them dimensional. And it's really a beautiful film to look at, and it's a very touching little story, too. It was done for Christmas time a couple years ago.
Well, I think that the glaring question for me is, did you meet Walt Disney? Did your parents know Walt Disney? I think everyone's got that on their mind.
Oh, yes, my parents thoroughly knew Walt. They knew all the animators, their wives and spouses. Yeah, I mean, it was a huge family, basically, in those days. And the studio was still small enough that it could do that. You could know who was where and what they were doing.
Right. That's neat.
But, yeah, I met Walt in the early 60s when I was up for the part of Christopher Robin in the first Winnie the Pooh animated featurette. And we had just moved to Burbank from Tahunga Sunland area in California. And this beautiful two-story house where I experienced a lot of things when I was a kid, a lot of stuff. So that house had a history. But it was built in 1924, craftsman period style, you know, with the flat kind of roofs, and twin sun decks and everything. I'm digressing, though, because my dad would, he would coach me with the reel-to-reel woolen sock tape recorder. He would record me trying my best British accent by reading from the book, Winnie the Pooh, and primed, and I went in for my first audition with 150 other little boys. And a couple weeks later, they called me back. Myself and Bruce Reitemann, the director's son, we were runners-up for the part, and so we did our final auditions, and I got to read my final audition with the man they'd hired to play Pooh, which was Sterling Holloway. And I really enjoyed doing that with him. He was a very kind, funny man. Went on to do other voices too. Before that, he had done the Cheshire Cat and Alice, and the stork who delivers the babies in Dumbo. You might remember that. Oh, what do you know?
That's so cool.
Dumbo. That was him. And then, of course, Winnie the Pooh, and later Ka in the Jungle Book in 1967. So, you know, Walt would use these same voice actors over and over again. Eleanor Audley was another one. She did the Wicked Stepmother and Cinderella, and she also did Maleficent and Sleeping Beauty. And she's also the voice of Madame Leota in the Haunted Mansion at the theme parks. So, all except for the Paris Disneyland one. That's a different woman, like a whole other character now in Paris. But the original Madame Leota, the floating head, you know, the seance room, that's mm-hmm. Eleanor Audley. So she was a mainstay of Disney. But Walt actually came in during my last audition too, because at the start of any series that they would do, the studio, he liked to be in on it. But he hadn't done as much of that as in years past at that point, because he had Disneyland then, and he was getting more interested in doing things with Disneyland than he was at the studio. So they didn't see him very much. He trusted his people enough to just take the projects and get them done, you know, and he would then cast an eye on them and make comments or suggestions, and that's the way it went. So he wasn't as involved with the studio point, but it was the beginning of a new series, the Winnie the Pooh featurettes. So since this was the first one, it was very special to him, and he wanted to make sure they got the casting right. So he came in and just told me everything he saw or felt that the little boy should be, and told me not to be nervous and just give it my best shot. I've never forgotten that. I saw him several times more after that, mostly for Christmas parties. For the Disney employees on the lot, he would often be around, you know, greeting the people as they came in. And we'd go to the auditorium and watch Christmas cartoons and just have a wonderful time. They'd give you toys as you left with your family to go back to the parking lot to get in your car and go home. You'd run the gauntlet of all these people handing you toys for Christmas. So it was quite an amazing time. But I was about 6 or 7 then, and so it all went well, I thought, and I did my best British accent and the whole bit. And then I was told that I didn't get the part because the director felt he could work better with his own son.
That's how life works,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You should have known.
Right.
At least you got the the real life experience at 6.
And a Walt Disney pep
go.
Talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Nobody gets.
I knew you were gonna tell me that the director's kid got the part. I mean, that was already like you didn't even have to even mention that. That was something you were already gonna.
Yeah. It's almost a given in those Hollywood kind of things, situations, isn't it?
I'm sure.
Yeah, I think in life, that's how that works.
I was intimidated by Walt that day, but in a good way. I was in awe of him. To the point where I could barely speak. Here he was, you know, face to face with me. So I just thought it was amazing, and I still do. The things he was able to accomplish and the pioneering efforts that he did. Oh my gosh, there's so many of them, including stereophonic movies, you know, with Fantasia, that gave the Dolby people the idea Dolby stereo for films. It was the Fantasound that he designed for to go along with Fantasia. That's just one, you know, small thing that they did. theme parks. He pioneered a whole new wave of theme parks with Disneyland. Just everything he did, the first sound cartoon, the first color cartoon, the first cartoon feature, Snow White. Just an amazing American pioneer, if you will. So,
well, we kind of strayed from the paranormal a little bit, but anytime someone's got some inside stories of Walt Disney, I think you got to kind of take advantage of it.
Right.
You know,
well,
so I think
I'm happy to talk about it because it was important. But the whole upshoot of that was that Walt heard about that I'd lost the part, and he asked my father if I might be interested in doing being an extra in a sequence for Mary Poppins, which was coming up. My dad had even storyboarded it. It was Let's Go Fly a Kite, which ends the movie. And he came home and said, how would you like to do that with me, with your pop? And I said, you bet. If I had known the phrase, this is the Pope Catholic back then, I probably would have used it. But yeah, so we got fitted for our little Edwardian costumes and got to fly our kite in the end of the film. So that was my consolation prize. Yeah, well, that led to meeting Julie Andrews and Dick Van Dyke, and especially David Tomlinson, who played Mr. Banks. So that's something I will never forget. And Julie Andrews remembered me years later when she came to Don Bluth studio. We were doing a press junket for Victor Victoria and The Secret of Nim. We were doing a double press junket at our studio. So all the actors from Victor Victoria came, including Julie Andrews and her husband, Blake Edwards, who had directed the film. And, of course, all the press, they came to the studio all day to see what we were drawing, doing. So she remembered me, surprisingly, and it was a wonderful time. But even now, people can sense Walt being around there. I don't think he's ever really left the studio, if you know what I mean.
Well, I had heard, too, that I believe we had a guest on. I can't remember. I didn't want to butcher it up, but Nikki, remember someone went and they investigated a part of like Walt Disney's house, or they went there and they were trying to figure it out if they could investigate?
I'm not sure, honestly. I think I would remember that. I don't know.
I think it was our Halloween special from 2 years ago. And our guest was trying to line up an investigation at Walt Disney's house, because when they took a tour, she had said that the people who worked there at Walt's house, I guess it's open for tours, or I guess nothing's open for tours now, but at the time it was open.
Yeah, probably
for
not.
and the people who worked there said like all types of crazy stuff were happening, you know, but it was just something that I guess, you know, they're not everyone's open to, investigating like their location, and you know, it was
right.
That gray line is like, do you try to, you know, talk to Walt Disney at his house? And I had never heard anything more about it, but I know there's a reference point that his place was haunted.
There's a lot going on in the firehouse apartment, the apartment over the firehouse that he had made at Disneyland. He will still play with the light in the window. It was his way of letting people know that he was in the park, people that were in the know, that is. He would turn the light on when the family was up there living, and that meant, don't come around, don't bother us, you know, we're here. Otherwise, if the light was off, then they would know to come up there and change the room and clean it and take care of it, maintain it. But people have turned the light out. They've found it on sometimes, and nobody turned it on. Nobody physical. And this is legendary now. So you might even be able to find things about it on the internet. It's actually been woven into some of the documentaries about Disneyland and so on. But there's a lot of phenomena out there, but that's one of the most interesting ones, is that it's almost like he gets angry when they turn it off. He'll just turn it on again. It happened to somebody. They turned it off, and they went to walk away, and they turned around again, and the light went on. He didn't want it turned off.
The more you're telling stories, the more I want to go, and I want to investigate it.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's a tall order.
Open yet. Since the COVID thing, they literally shut the whole thing down. I believe parts of Disney World are open again in Florida, but the Disney park is very slow to get going again. They've opened Downtown Disney, which is the shopping area between California Adventure and Disneyland, which used to be the parking lot for Disneyland, and they built a new theme area there. But it's still there, and it's still sitting quietly waiting for people to get it open again. Yeah.
Or for us to give a call and say, hey, we want to investigate. I don't know how that would go over. Probably not well.
Exactly.
But it would be worth a shot. So I think Mickey, you have to get on that.
Yeah.
That's your goal for tomorrow, is try to get a hold of someone at Disney and get us in there.
Uh-huh.
Because we want to investigate the light.
Okay,
and
don't hold your breath, because I don't know that's going to work out.
I'm so,
you start
out
early enough, hopefully by midday.
Yeah. I'd have to find somebody else that's still there that could do that, because I'm so far out of the loop now. I'm about to draw my pension from the Disney company, but because I'm going into retirement now. So that's on the way, but who'd have thought, right? But that's like the extent of it these days. I haven't had much to do with them for since around 2003, I guess now. So But,
we'll have to get you back out on one of our investigations soon.
For sure.
Or maybe we'll have to come out. We'll hang out in that laundry room. That seems like that.
Sure.
Would be,
there you go.
People might.
Oh, you'd like
that
laundry room.
You can ask the landlady.
I'd be interested to see what
company coming over.
Yeah.
Add the landlord. Say, tell her you have some company coming over. You guys want to hang out in the laundry room? It seems feasible.
Yeah.
Well, I have a lot of clothes, so I could say we have so many to wash that we're going to have to use both laundry rooms. Right.
Laundry room.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have an extra large load of laundry.
That's right, yes. That only gets clean if it's washed over there. Mm-hmm.
if I'd had the EVP equipment, I probably would have tried to, to get something. I would have engaged in a conversation about.
Right.
Certainly with whoever was in our apartment, too, because whoever that was making my stepson scream and carry on.
Yeah.
His mom,
well, you know what's crazy?
No, but that's
is not, nowadays, you could use devices just on your phone.
Yeah. That's right.
But
you can.
We'll walk around and shoot video for, just our walkthrough of a location. And I'll go back and play it back, and there'll be like weird voices and people talking to us and stuff. And it's just, a standard video shot on our phone.
I don't doubt it. It doesn't happen that often anymore for me, but it has done that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but my wife at the time, she says, No, he's pointing at the neighbors across the way. I said, no, he's pointing over my head at the ceiling.
Right.
So whatever he's seeing is above me. Okay. She didn't believe it, or she didn't want to believe it because it would freak her out too much, I think.
Exactly.
But,
right.
She didn't believe in much of anything, but I think she secretly believed in, spirits. So,
mm-hmm.
She believed not to believe.
Kind of bad because I kind of teased her about that. I have to admit, kind of a rotten end.
No, that just makes that means you have a good time. I've been known to tease a little bit, and I might take it a little too far on a daily basis. So, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah,
it happens.
Yeah.
As long as it made you laugh, yeah. that's all that matters, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, I told the waitress about the little kid grabbing my leg in St. Barnabas, this little diner I go to in the neighborhood. And she says, you see, I would just pee my pants. I forget, you know,
that's
people
funny.
Are really sensitive to that kind of thing. They're just not ready for that, you know.
That's right.
I don't know, maybe
no,
it's happened
to
me so often, but I don't care anymore. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and you're more open to it. But, you know, it's always a pleasure having you on. And
definitely.
You know, we definitely got to get together soon and, you know, either in the laundry room, which that's the weirdest thing to say. Hey, we meet in the laundry room. Or, you know, I'm one of our. Yeah, it's got to be. It's like a sitcom
room.
Or something.
Dun, 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 dun,
yeah. You know, or when you guys are traveling this year, because hopefully traveling will pick back up and everyone will be healthy enough to travel. And, you know, we'll have to, I'm sure we'll cross paths at some point this year or next year.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure we will. I'm glad your leg is better now, too.
That's I'm doing good. I'm glad you're feeling better. I saw a couple of times you had a run-in in the hospital, too. And
oh, several times. Last year, yeah, it was kind of scary. But I'm not scared of the death thing, you know, because I did see the tunnel of light when I did pass for a few seconds one time. So ever since then, I haven't been afraid of the feeling because it was pretty cool.
Do you actually remember this? Yeah, I didn't know this.
Yeah,
I didn't know you. I don't think you told us this before.
What made me mad was being yanked back into the, you know, this conscious world. So
right.
That made me mad. But let me get back in the light. I felt so great.
These are things we didn't know. You had you died and came back. You didn't never
yeah,
told us you died and came back. You never told us you had inside information on Walt Disney hauntings. This is like stuff you need to let us know.
Well, because nobody's ever really jogged my memory before like you folks do. So, you know, you ask the right questions and I'm jogged. But that was in 2012.
So there you go.
I had a killer kidney stone and my temperature hit 111 degrees, my temperature. And,
whoa.
I was completely
shocked. That's high.
And I fading out. And I remember I felt really warm and then it went dark. I was still in the ER room that they had brought me into. And I felt like I was on a roller coaster because the fever was so bad. My head was just swirling. I became aware that I was seeing a light start, and it just got brighter and brighter. And it was not pure white. It was kind of slightly pinkish. And I thought, well, that's different. And I smelled peaches. And then I heard my friend Sandra's voice, who I had been friends with for 22-plus years. We worked all over the place together. And very, very close friend, who I lost to cancer in 1998. And suddenly I heard her muttering something to me. And I said, Sammy, is that you? She says, well, who do you think it was? And I remembered that she wore a peach perfume. It was one of the perfumes that she would wear. She was letting me know it was her by that smell. And then I thought, gee, I wonder if anyone else I know is here. Well, before that could happen, I wasn't in any more pain. I didn't really know where I was. I just knew I was in some nether region talking to my friend. And next thing I knew, it felt like somebody was plunging an ice back into my back. And then I realized where I was. And they had packed my neck in these long ice bags, and I was coming back to consciousness. So, and I was angry. I don't want this pain. Get me back to the light.
Right.
So, you had to know something was up when you saw your friend. You're like, wait a minute, that doesn't add up.
Right. Yeah. Hold up.
She was as beautiful as ever, and you know, I was so happy to see her that way because the cancer had really done a number on her and just reduced her to nothing but skin and bone. And they asked me at the funeral if I wanted to see her body, and I said, no, no, there's no need. I know she's not in that box.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, in fact, I was her lead pallbearer, and she was fluttering around my head saying, you know darn well I'm not in that box, don't you? And I said, yes, dear, I know. So, people actually saw me snickering during the funeral and thought something was up. And it was. Because she was letting me know, don't take this seriously. I'm okay now. So.
Right. Aw.
Yeah. And she fought. She fought really hard. But, you know, that's just one of those stories.
Yeah.
I did not know that you died and came back. So there's something you find out new about someone every day.
I did, and I poo-pooed it. I poo-pooed everyone else's stories about that because I thought, oh, come on, you know.
Yeah.
It's something you want to see. It's consoling you. I certainly didn't ask to see it. I didn't know where the hell I was. So, but it's like a gateway that suddenly there it was, you know. So.
Wow.
It is very much like a tunnel of light. But it's
now,
like,
I wonder, the other...
You remember
one, one quick question I have...
The mods,
A question I have for you before we let you go. Since that time, did you notice, like, your awareness of the paranormal and things happening and your the way you were able to, like, you know, you said you sense stuff all the time, you smell stuff all the time. Was that heightened since that experience? Or was that your entire life? Because I've heard people say, you know, they're more in touch with, you know, spirits and that they can sense and hear things, you know, after they have that type of experience. Do you think that was an experience that you, it heightens your sentence?
Like an
senses,
awakening.
Or do you think,
Yeah,
awakening. Or do you
think
that was just always with you?
I do think it got more intense after that. Yeah. Yeah, it kind of reminds me of that film Resurrection with the gal that played the mother in The Exorcist, Ellen Burstyn. Wonderful movie. A lot of people don't remember it now, but she actually is in a car crash at the opening of the film, nearly dies, and then she comes back from the tunnel of light. And suddenly she has all these, you could almost say, powers. She's able to heal other people. So that kind of made me think of that. But, I think it enhanced my ability to sense those things. And most of what I've sensed my entire life is mostly scents or smells and tangible things, the way I feel. The environment, not so much seeing anything, though I have seen a few things too, especially that shadow person in the old apartment. So,
pretty awesome.
Well, that's a lot of cool stories.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And it's funny. I was sending a message over to Nikki about our wrap up, and I wanted to go over a few things before we wrap up. And we have a psychic that sent me a message. She's like, "Oh, this guy has crazy abilities." So it's you might want to look into that. So apparently, maybe that could be your thing for your final chapter as you go on tour as a psychic,
good,
and you
good
that
for
would be so cool.
Retirement. Something I can do during my retirement. I don't have to fret about anything. anymore.
No,
so,
you can talk to Walt Disney and see what he's up to. And
Walt can give you another pep talk.
Yes.
Oh, I would love that.
Maybe he can get in on it.
Yeah.
You can do this.
He was wonderful.
You got this, man.
Yeah. Oh, I meant to ask you, was there ever a video made of that night we went to St. Barnabas?
I think she has it. I'm pretty sure she told me that she has it.
I'm
putting you on the spot because you told tell me. You told me you have it.
I don't know that.
You know what's
that.
Funny? What I do have, though, I think she has it. I think she's lying to us just to, I don't know why. But we did a ghost
box
session.
Wasn't it on Facebook?
At the, I don't know. We might be able to find that. And on top of it, it was funny. Mm-hmm. We did a ghost box session, and I think it was something where you had thought you got your mother's name or something, and we did it at the hotel. Right when we were, like, all wrapping up, we were the only, like, four or five people left we were just, like, hanging out, and we decided to run the ghost box. I don't know if you remember that or not, but I found that footage.
That was in the Pennsylvania Hotel, right?
Yeah, and on there, you know, that hotel is supposed to be on, like, I think it was sacred. Like, I can't remember what was with the land there, but I remember we were getting stuff that comes to the ghost box or came to the ghost box, and I actually found that footage the other day. So I can upload that to our drive, and I'll send it to you. You can listen to it.
Okay. Yeah, we'd love to see that. Yeah. Was the year that I met Tessa Del Zappo and Tim Woolley. They were both there.
That was a fun investigation. We appreciate you coming on tonight. Do you have anything you want to plug in? Anything you want to, you know, have people come check out or go to besides your Facebook page and your website?
They're certainly welcome to see what I've been up to by going to my Facebook art page. That's just my name, Philo Barnhart, with the word art after it. And anyone can go there. I also work with a fellow here who you also know, Charles D. Moisant, in Illinois. And he creates comics for education and also tells horror stories. So he's not unfamiliar with ghost things.
Right.
We'll have to have him coming because I think he'd be very entertaining to have on the on for a podcast or a live show.
Sure.
I think he'd be very entertaining.
He would love to do it. He is a very entertaining person. But you can get to our collective site by going to silverphoenix.net. And that's all one word, silverphoenix.net. And you need the net to catch the bird, he says. Well, that was very clever.
Very nice.
But you can read the bios of all the people that work with him and see what new things he's doing. And he's got a couple of interesting board games, role-playing games that he's been developing that are, I think they're going to do very well when they come out. So.
Cool.
Awesome. Well, we look forward to talking to you again and hopefully seeing you this year. And you have to keep us posted and try to get into that old laundry room and see if there's any shadows.
I will.
People.
I will. My storage is still over there, and I feel things in there, too. So maybe I'll
there
try
you
to
go.
Take a device. Yeah.
There you go. That would be cool.
Yeah, I think I will. Next time I have to go get a box or something, I'll take a device down there and see if I can get anything.
Yeah.
And we hope you do.
Yeah.
You have to
too.
Let us know.
All
right. Well, all
right,
I will, you know, we'll be in touch and we're going to send you that file of our investigation. And thank you for joining us tonight.
Yes. Thank you.
Oh, thanks for having me. Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Well, that was interesting. And I did not know about, like, I didn't know he had died and came back. And I don't know why. I think we first met him in, 2017 or something, like, you know, it's been
Maybe it just doesn't come up in everyday talking, you know, like, you know.
No, but what
do
you think it was?
You know, I died once, you know, and I came back, you know. Probably not in his everyday, like, you know, introduction, if you will. But it should be, because it's pretty freaking awesome.
You remember that time when I died? You don't usually.
Right. And then I,
like,
rolled back in and was like, I don't want to be here, but I'm here.
Yeah,
you know.
I hate it. And
And
though I am curious, though, if that actually enhanced his
I've heard that it does. And, you know.
I think it does.
Right.
I have never
died. Yeah, I think
it,
like,
back,
I think
I
it,
think
it,
I have.
It definitely,
Not sure.
Don't know.
I don't know either. But yeah, I think it does.
Mm-hmm.
What were you saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I think it was, I think I might have cut you off.
I don't remember now.
It was about dying and coming back. It was only like 10 seconds ago.
Yeah, it's a long time ago.
Well, I know we've actually had people, and I know there's people who have written books in that subject, and it's an interesting topic.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. One that I can't speak on myself, so.
That you know
yet.
Of.
Yes. Because
does everyone know if you've died and come back? I guess you have to know, but maybe people do, and
you
they
probably
don't even
kinda
know.
Do.
Like, it's a dream.
Right.
I don't know.
I died like 3,000 times and didn't even know I did. I think somebody might notice over time, you know, that there was something up there. I'm just saying. Maybe.
Mm. Well, and it's interesting because,
but,
he's credible. And it's because we've encountered people that have died and come back. And I've, you know, me and my internal eye roll. And sometimes, and not because of the people or whatever, it's just I'm a hard sell on some of
this
stuff.
It's natural,
and,
right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's natural. You know, I think that he would be a person that I don't think there would be no benefit of him coming up with that story, especially 4 years after we met him. Hey, I forgot to tell you. It's not like he's like out there publicizing it, you know, so.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That leads me to believe that it's a little bit, you know, there's not much. There's nothing, not even not much. There's nothing for him to gain by him telling us that.
Exactly.
But I did find his stories about Walt Disney and leaving the light, and I didn't know that. But
no,
I don't think, I do not think that we'll be able to actually go and investigate it like I want to. But
probably,
you know, we
kind of
got sidetracked, but. No, but we have had very few people on that I know of, though, now that we, based on tonight's show, where we just find something new about somebody, maybe we have encountered other people who were, like, family friends of Walt Disney that we just didn't know, but, you know, we kind of went down a non-paranormal.
Maybe it should be a pre-screening question from here on out.
Yeah, did you know, from now on, all of our guests, hey, do you have any kind of family history with Walt Disney? You know, I don't know how that would go over or if people would think it was weird, but it's a paranormal show, so.
That one might go over as a little weird, just saying.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to look up, though, and see if there is any documentation on the internet, or I was hoping maybe you would look it up and then send it to me if you found anything about that.
If I had
about
it.
Disney.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. I forgot you don't have the internet.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It died. I wonder if it'll come back and it can tell you about it.
At this point, it's probably not able to be resuscitated.
Your internet went to the light.
It must have.
It must have met its
friends
and stuff, and it does not want to come back. It's like trying, but you're
Well, clearly
it
doesn't want
to. It's other internet friends and stuff, and it's just not. They're partying up there.
Right. Pretty
you
sure
don't find my internet outage humor.
No, because I don't find it at all
funny
to begin with, because it's, like, annoying, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Situational. Mm-hmm.
It is a situation that no one likes to have.
No, it sucks. Mm-hmm.
But it was a good good interview, and
learned a lot.
Yeah, I look forward. I did. Mm-hmm. I learned more than I am now much smarter in my Walt Disney history, and
me too.
I look forward to looking that stuff up, and you know, I think those stories that are always are fun. You know, I don't know if it's just you know, what he called it a legend, you know, and maybe it is because people want to hope he's still around there, but it would be cool that
no,
he
I think
was.
If anybody would be as much work as he put into everything, it would make sense to me that that would be probably a legitimate thing.
Yeah, that's true. I think,
mm-hmm.
you know, and since he, you know, it seems like they knew him, you know, pretty well. If he, you know, wasn't, you know, that type of guy, he would tell us. And it seemed like he was pretty legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, you know, nowadays, a lot of the CEOs and people who run the companies don't necessarily hang around with, you know, their employees.
The hired help.
Yeah, I was trying to come up with a nicer way to put it, but you just went.
Well, I mean, it just is what it is. Well, it's
yes.
friggin' what it is. There's no need to dance around the shit. There's what it is.
No, and it's pretty cool to find out that, like, at the mm-hmm. Walt Disney Christmas parties, Walt Disney would actually be at the door greeting the people as they walked in.
Right, exactly.
I highly doubt, you know, 99% of the current companies that are at the same stature as Walt Disney's,
mm-hmm.
they have their head of the company greeting people as they walk into
yeah.
a Christmas party.
I seriously doubt that that happens, like, at all, probably.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it was funny that if we can get him to go and do that investigation where he takes just a simple recorder, and I think a lot of people don't even realize that you could just use your phone to capture some stuff. Because I know when we
exactly.
review stuff, there's voices that come through that I know for a fact aren't you and I. And they're captured just on standard, you know, cell phone audio and video. So, if you haven't, if you're listening tonight and you have no equipment, you don't necessarily need equipment. Obviously, some of the stuff helps and enhances it, but you might just want to walk around with your voice recorder. That you might actually have a voice recorder, but I'm not sure if people do that as much as they, you know, they used to say 20 years ago. But you know, a voice recorder on your phone or your video, and just shoot it and see if you get anything.
Right.
Talk and play it back and see if you get any responses. You know, you don't need all the fancy gear that you see on TV.
Exactly.
Well, you know, we hopefully will see everyone next Tuesday, and maybe we'll be doing some live streaming hopefully over next week, and maybe we'll bring in a streaming show on who knows what platform.
Yeah.
Time will tell.
Never know.
Nope. Halftime, I don't know either.
Me either.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for joining us tonight, and thank you, Nikki, for co-hosting like our 1,000th show. Or I'm trying to figure that out.
That's shortchanging it. We haven't counted.
It was. No, we haven't, but I was trying to today, and I didn't tell you that. And because I felt as if there's like a milestone coming up, and I was getting to the point where I think we're at about 15,000 shows through Live Paranormal. So, you know, that as a whole, and I think you and I have done well over 1,000 productions, and I want to have to get a number because I think there's got to be some kind of milestone coming up because it's been quite some time.
Probably so.
One would think. All right, well, we'll see everyone next week, and thanks for joining us on Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio.
Take care, everyone. Bye.
Bye.